I didn't share before, but I'd like to share a couple of things right now, because the songs all talked about it, too. And I was telling Pastor Rick earlier that two nights ago I was just laying in my bed talking with God. Then I stopped, and he said, "Charlena." And I said, "What?" And he just said, "I love you, that's all. I love you." But it was really neat. And then another thing, you remember if you were here when I was crying about my son, how, you know, we used to sing together. And he sung Happy Birthday to me yesterday. And he sung it so beautifully, yeah. So I know he has it in him, you know, still. Anyway, and the other thing was, there's a woman where I live that was really mad at me, and she wasn't speaking to me. And so I've been praying about it all the time and praying for her to forgive me for I don't know what. But So I came out the door this morning. She was standing right there. But I've been speaking to her all along anyway. I've been saying hi, and she don't answer, you know. But then today I came out the door and I said hi, and I said I love you. And she started talking with me, so praise God, you know. God's good.
You're right, Charlena. He is good. And he's good all the time. And all the time, he's good. I'm so glad. I'd be in a lot of trouble. Oh, would you please go with me to the book of Colossians? The book of Colossians, chapter 1. Last week, I had sort of introduced to you the next several weeks that we would be walking on the theme of walking with the Lord or walking with God. And so the next segment of that comes from Colossians chapter 1 in verse 10, and it's part of a prayer that Paul had prayed for the church at Colossae. And if you don't know how to pray, or you're not sure about maybe how to pray for a particular fellowship or for here, and I know that many of you that are here are very, very good prayer warriors. But you might come back to prayers like the prayers that Paul prayed to kind of get a pattern for things that you might otherwise not think of to pray, because the topics in his prayers are really important. Verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1, to bring it into its context of chapter 10, or verse 10, I'm sorry. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Verse 10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So verse 10 is clearly divided into four distinct segments. And that's where I'd like to start with this. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. A few notes from that portion, that you might. The word might is interesting that Paul put in there, because the believer always has the choice of whether he or she will or will not do or put into practice what God has already provided for us. But it must be according to his word, his promises. So we as a believer have a choice. It's all about making right choices. God does not force us. He does not coerce us. He does not tempt us or exert his will over ours to make us do something. He does expect us to obey him out of our love and respect for him. The phrase fear of the Lord, it means to have an awesome and a reverence and a respect for who God is. And so that should be the motivation for us as believers about our walk, about our relationship with him. And the issue of walking worthy of the Lord, I made mention about in our opening scripture about how God views each person and the worth and value that your life is to him. That he was the rich merchant, and you're his pearls of great price, each one of you. I love how Jesus talked about the pearl of great price, because when the parable was revealed, Jesus was talking about his heavenly Father and the kingdom of God, and how God was willing to give up everything he had, including his own son, to purchase even one pearl. And if you were the only person in this world, no matter what you think of yourself or who you thought you were, or looking down on yourself, trashing yourself, calling yourself your favorite names, we all have one, I'm sure. We just don't talk about them too much. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord doesn't see us that way. He sees us through the filter of his blood. And so his blood has been shed on the mercy seat in heaven. It's already there. So when your name comes up by the enemy, he accuses you. He's the accuser of the brethren. You got something to stand on. You don't have to argue with him. It won't do any good, because he's just going to do what he does until he's in the lake of fire. But you have something. You have a witness. The blood of Jesus Christ is already there on the mercy seat. It's something God has already done that has now made you worthy, because we've all been washed by the blood. God does not see us any other way except without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. Why? Because he doesn't look at us in the flesh. He looks at us through the blood of his son. It's a filter. And if that doesn't make you happy today, you need to go to that church down the road. Maybe they got a better message. That should make you really happy, that the Lord sees you through the blood of his son. That is the best news. And so he sees us from a value to him. His value system is very different than ours. I love my children, but I don't know if I could contemplate the cross for them as a dad or as a grandfather to our grandkids. I don't know if I'd jump in front of a speeding truck. I do things pretty spontaneously. That might be something I might do. But I can't say in front of you today if I would. But I might. We hit a bear. But it's something to think about, because you don't see God beating up his church. He speaks by his spirit. We're called to walk a walk that's above our flesh realm, even though we still live in these earth suits. But it's his spirit that wants to live through us. He's in us, but he wants to live his life through us, to reveal the Christ-like one that you really are, the inner man. Paul calls it the hidden man of the heart, or the inner man. And that's the part that our earth suit contains. We contain that. We're that vessel that contains his presence. And so when you think of how worth your worth to the Father, that he would put the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead inside of each one of us as believers. And you go all the way back to Genesis and see how powerfully the Holy Spirit moved when God spoke. and everything came into existence. And that same spirit dwells in each one of us. So we're a vessel now that God has made clean by his blood and imparted to us the third person of the Trinity to not only have his anointing upon us, but he literally dwells within each one of us as believers. So if we start our walk with that, you won't look at your life and see all the faults and all the places you missed it, all the times you had a chance and blew it. I did before, but boy, there's nothing edifying about nitpicking oneself to the point where you just want to give up and say, it's too hard, I can't do that, rather than just say, wow, this is absolutely an amazing life. I never knew such a life was possible. I just didn't. I thought Christians were all crazy people. And then I became one. Now I'm stuck with all of you. But we're all knit together. You know, the word talks about the body of Christ and how fitly framed we are. And Priscilla, you could maybe talk about stitching and how something knit together or fitly framed together makes the whole garment strong. And each one of us, whether it's this local body, I can't speak for other places, but here we're learning a lot about body ministry and God's desire and perspective when his people come together. The importance and the value of each one to each other, because we're all blood-bought believers. We all have the same worth to each other that God has. And that's part of our walk. That's part of our witness. Jesus said that all men would know that we're his disciples if we have love one for another and the same love and love others as he loves us. And so that's the beginning of it. It's the beginning of a love walk. And it can be kind of bumpy in the beginning, because if you started in the beginning like I did, having never been to a church, I thought, why should I go there? Those people are pretty loose upstairs. I had friends in Bellas Falls that I played in several bands with. Even played in a band called Holy Ghost. And there weren't nothing holy about any of it. Faith is shaking her head. No, she knows some of the people I was with. That's when I met her. Well, it was wonderful. Her brother was one of our guitarists. And that's how I met my sweetie. Back in our thrash and crash rock and roll days. And then a couple of those guys got saved. And they said, Rick, we're playing Christian music. We got a place to play. Would you like to come and play? I said, uh-uh. Nah, didn't, I was not even to the least bit interested. And they went on, carried on, and I carried on and got carried on. But all of a sudden, at a golf course, on a Saturday morning, I was cutting tees, and I had my triplex Toro mower all nice and sharp, and I was cutting the tees on the golf course we worked on. Got the first three holes done, headed down the cart path to number four, and I just started crying, and I said, that is just the most bizarre thing. I kept looking to make sure there were no golfers to see me doing that. And it was almost uncontrollable. I had to stop the mower. I didn't know what was going on. And at exactly that same time, that Saturday morning when I was working, Faith was at her brother's pastor's house, leading her to Christ. She made the mistake of sitting on their anointed couch, in my thinking. But it was the same time that was happening, was when the Holy Spirit softened my stony, hardened heart on the golf course, and there was no people around. I heard no voices. There was nothing, just that. And then I went home, and she came in crying with Danny, her brother. And I remember saying, what are you crying about? Are you sad or are you happy? She said, oh, I'm happy. I just gave my heart to Jesus. And I went, oh, dude, I got to live with a Christian woman now. And I wasn't one. And then, but I said, it was these words came out of my mouth. I says, great, if you die and go to heaven, I want to go with you. I want to be where you are. And I knew after that, and she says, oh, that won't be any problem because we've arranged for the pastor to come over to our house Monday night. She's very sly. And that started my walk. He came over. I went out. It was really funny. We were living in a pretty low-class trailer park area. And I said, wow, this was in March. And I said, well, Jesus at least knows where to go in the winter. When it gets cold, he comes to Naples, Florida. And he came to our house. The pastor came to our door, and I just opened it up for him. And I says, come on in, I'm ready, and I don't need to hear no preaching. And that's how our walk started together. We've had the blessing of being saved only a couple days apart. That doesn't happen with a lot of families. And a lot of times it's really hard where one person gets saved and others in your family are not. It could be even your mate. And then so that you're spiritually, it's very difficult to be in agreement with each other. You just see things differently. And this thing about being worthy, I never heard that in our house. My father had some very choice words about his kids. And I never heard any words of upbuilding and encouraging until I got saved. And I started getting into the Word, and I finally realized what a wonderful Heavenly Father I really have. And you know what's really cool? He's your daddy, God, too, Abba Father, that Paul wrote about. Remember when he wrote that in the book of Romans? He called him Abba Father, dear daddy God. And for all of us, the day we got saved really starts our walk with him. So when your life goes bzzz, back to there, and look, each step of the way, along the way, how your life started with him and where he's brought you today by the power of his Spirit. So when we walk worthy of the Lord, it means to live our lives in a manner to show that God made a good investment when he bought you. That's a Rick phrase. I don't know how else to say it. It just is. Our lives, as we learn to grow with the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us overcome things that we couldn't change. And God never wanted us to change them on our own. Because when the Spirit does a work, it's deep and it's complete and it's done. And so that's where I'd like to start with us, from the worth value, that ultimately the Holy Spirit is working in our lives every day. He never gives up on us. He molds us and conforms us so that people see more of the Lord in our lives. I don't have this in notes, but this part of it is just very spontaneous. And it's because it's the truth. And when you know the truth, you don't have to write it down. You just know it. You just know it in your heart. You know it in your spirit. And it bears witness with your spirit, because we're of the same spirit. And so, walking worthy of the Lord, when Paul wrote that, if you studied some of these cities where Paul preached, there were hardly any Christians. How could you be a Christian until you heard about Jesus? And Paul carried the message and fathered or planted the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae. They had a lot of Greek mythology and worshiping stones and idols and gods and goddesses and all those kind of things were going on, and then suddenly they get saved, and then they get a letter from Paul that you walk worthy. This was part of his prayer for them, that we walk in appreciation for what God made his investment in, and that investment he made was in you and in me. So that changes, from that perspective, that changes how you're going to start thinking, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. I don't mean to get into pride and those kind of things. But to look at your life and let it stop you from thinking that you're no good, that you'll never measure up, you can't make it. Those are lies. So, let's just together decide we're not going to believe those lies anymore. And I really hope that word, that word is a now word. That if you came today and you didn't know what you were going to hear, make sure you heard that. And take that home with you and look in the mirror and just say, Father, I thank you that you love me and that you saved me because you considered my worth. See, when God made an investment, the deal is, you know, when Jesus came, he was one individual. But now, through the new birth, God has many children. And it's like he multiplied himself in each believer. And that's why the blood was necessary. You're now holy and consecrated and separated unto him. And when he washed us in his blood, see, now the Holy Spirit has a nice clean house to live in. So when you grab these truths, it's going to change the way you think about yourself and maybe about the person beside you, the person you're married to, the person you'd like to be married to. All of these things play into this about walking worthy before the Lord, walking worthy of the Lord, walking in a manner that God was willing. He's the one that decided your worth and your value. And no person can walk away from here today and not know this because we're reading it together. He's given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk in obedience to his call on our lives. And I'll probably just read this for today and next Sunday when we come together. I like to pick up where we left off because sometimes, you know, a lot of stuff happens in a couple hours that we're here. And sometimes this isn't always the longest part of the service. I don't feel like I have to talk for an hour just to fill up a cassette or a tape. What's the point of that? You know, we'll get there. James chapter 1. And I love it that you bring your swords. It shows the devil we're serious. Whack that sucker's head off one day. Peter tried that, but that's a different story too. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Blessed is the man or woman or person that endures temptation. One of the first things that starts happening, and I don't know if you noticed this like I did, but when I first got saved, I realized there's a battle going on now. And it wasn't like that before. I was just in full agreement with the spirit of darkness, just like all of us. But then we get saved. Now the devil's dangling all his jewelry out there for us to suck us in, draw us back, try this, do this, do this, do this, to tempt us, to lure us, to put something between our relationship with our Heavenly Father. See, before we had one, the devil wasn't worried about that. But now he's got a problem. You give him a headache every time your feet hit the floor. Oh my God, they're up. He knows. Blessed is the man or person that endures temptation. Endures means be in it for the long haul. Whatever things that are troubling you or concerning you or holding you back or holding you down, don't give up. Because the Spirit of God has already empowered us to cause us to overcome. Otherwise, we wouldn't be called overcomers and more than conquerors through Christ who always gives us the victory. You start getting a hold of scriptures like that, and you begin to start thinking on that level. Because those are real precious promises. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. There are five crowns for the believer, but that's another teaching. But this is one of them. So next week, when we come back together, we're just going to pick up with that. I don't know what time. We don't have a time. We do everything here. Sometimes things are spontaneous, and there's a flow. But there'll always be time for the word. So if you're planning on coming to the picnic, bring a lawn chair and enjoy yourself and just have fun. In the meantime, if there's anybody that has any prayer needs, we always have time for prayer. If you have any particular need, yes, Mary?